I actually have a special thank you for Roland, because he afforded me something and understood it, and it took all kinds of pressure off. You know, I didn't know what kind of shape I would be in today, because we took off on Wednesday. We left at 3 o'clock in the morning, Diana and I. We drove until Reno. Then we found a hotel with some difficulty. Your pastor was very disappointed in himself again. And I think I could say my bride wasn't really thrilled with herself either. So, you know, we weren't doing that well. We weren't that smooth. Disappointing on our parts. But got up the next day, drove, packed up the truck. Got up the next morning at about 6 o'clock and headed down the road. Drove about 12 hours. Got in a little bit earlier, found a hotel, really reasonable, and David and Breezy treated us to a really nice hotel. They found it for us, no problem, praise God. And nice restful night, got up, hit the road at 6:30 and pulled in at 6 last night. 2,750 miles, plus loading up a house into a trailer. So it was a full 4 days, but I didn't know what kind of shape I was going to be in. And so I asked Roland before I left, I said, I don't know if I'm going to be in the pulpit or not on Sunday morning. I might be, but I don't know. And he's just like, I get that. I understand that. So I'll pray about it and see if it's in my heart. He had something in his heart, and he said, you know, Pastor, I'm good either way. If you get here and you're sitting in the chair and you're just pooped and you don't want to preach, I'm ready to preach. If you're ready to preach, go ahead and preach. And just to have that peace and to have that just, okay, we can let this thing unfold. I just want to say thank you. That meant more to me than maybe most people will know, but it just meant a lot. And I'm grateful for that understanding and that heart that you have in that. So thank you so much. And glory to God. And one of the reasons I wanted to minister this morning is I'm going to finish up a teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And you could take your Bibles, if you would, please, open to two passages of Scripture, Acts chapter 17, and 1 Corinthians 12. Acts chapter 17 and 1 Corinthians 12. And as you're opening up and getting there, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you. God, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Father, I don't want to just say that lightly and like just, okay, it's something to stick in a prayer. No. I stop and think about it. Your mercy. Your mercy's brand new this morning. Brand new this morning. Father, your mercy. Unmerited favor. Thank you. Thank you for your favor. Thank you that we are surrounded and we have favor with you and we have favor with man. Thank you, Father, for favor. Thank you. And we didn't have to earn it. You just give it. And we receive that favor. We receive that favor in your eyes and in the eyes of men. And then, Heavenly Father, I think of that verse of Scripture where it says, when we receive mercy, we don't faint, we don't lose heart. So thank you right now for encouragement. Thank you right now for strength. And Father, I want to thank you for grace in all its many varied forms and shapes and workings and colors and variety. Father, your grace gives us strength to live. Grace is involved in our salvation. A grace to minister to people. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace, and thank you right now for a sufficiency to be able to minister your word and to share truth. And the truth sets us free. The truth sets us free. The truth helps us walk fully in the victory that Jesus has already won for us. So thank you, Father, for opening up the eyes of our understanding and flooding our hearts with light, and we see things more clearly and we live and walk in them more and more every day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you would, go to Acts chapter 17 first. Acts chapter 17 first. I just think this is a good reminder scripture. Acts chapter 17, going to start at verse 10. Many of you have heard me share this many times. Now the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they sent them into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded. Everybody go ahead and say fair-minded. How many have a translation where your Bible says noble-minded? These were more noble-minded. I don't know about you, but to me, the thought of being noble-minded, the thought of being fair-minded, I like. That's something that I want to do. That's something that I want to walk in, is to be a noble-minded person, to be a fair-minded person. And it's interesting, when you read on this verse of Scripture, we get a description of what that is. These were more noble-minded, fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. There's a part of that noble mind. Receive the word with all readiness. I mean, come ready to receive. How many of us in school went ready to receive? Some did. I know some did. There's some in here who did. You went ready. You wanted to learn. You wanted to grow in things. Some of us didn't. Diana. Oh, David. Okay. Yeah, David. It's scary how much he and I are alike. Oh, my. It used to be our past. Yeah. In that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. I just love that. Come ready to receive the scripture. Ready. You know, some people, they'll wonder what this guy can tell me. And they come in with that attitude. That's not noble-minded. That's not open. That's not receptive. You know what? I'm going to hear. I'm going to open up my heart and I'm going to hear. I'm going to hear what they have to say. And then I'm going to go study the scripture daily to find out if these things are so. Going to go find out. See if this guy is telling me the truth. My last Sunday, it was let joy rule the day. Let joy rule the day. Today I had this come up. Let truth rule the day. Just let truth rule the day. And you know what? God's word is truth. Just let his truth have its way in your heart. And knowing the truth sets us free. How many of us in here want to keep learning and want to keep growing? Every hand goes up. Yep, I do. You know what? That means we're going to hear stuff we've never heard before. Amen? If we're always hearing what we've always heard, then what are we hearing new that's going to cause us to grow? So hopefully we constantly are hearing things that cause us to grow and cause us to learn more. Amen? So how many noble-minded people do we have in here? I remember one time years ago I was teaching, going to start a series on the Holy Spirit, and we had just had Ron and Jen, you were part of that group of people that came in at that time. We had about 6 new families that moved to the church. And a lot of them had grown up in church or been in church for a period of time and not exposed or introduced or hadn't met the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I knew that. And sometimes when people have heard different doctrine, they almost will hear teaching against the Holy Spirit. So I just shared this verse of Scripture and asked everybody to be noble-minded. And I remember this one person in particular. When I got done with that service that morning, he had a Lutheran background, and so did his wife. And I shared this verse of Scripture, and when the service was over, I walked up, and he shook my hand, and he looked at me, and he said, "Pastor, I will be noble-minded." And you know what? It wasn't many days, and he was baptized with the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues. Because he had heard his wife praying in the bedroom with one of the kids, and he's like, "I need to learn more about this. I want this." So be noble-minded. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You got a marker there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Might be good to put a marker here because we'll be in 12, 13, and 14 and at some other places. And a little bit of teaching for a moment. A little bit of teaching. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're just going to read verses 7 through 10 for sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. And we've been breaking these into three categories just for teaching purposes. You have what has been called by some the power gifts. They're gifts that do something. Working of miracles, special faith, gifts of healings. They do something. Then you have what has been referred to as the revelation gifts. They're gifts that reveal something. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. They reveal stuff to us. They let us supernaturally see and understand things that we don't naturally see nor understand. And then the last one we're going to look at today is the vocal gifts. Gifts that say something. Prophecy. Speaking in tongues. Interpretation of tongues. And I'm going to stick this in here right now. Have you ever had this run through your head? Well, yeah, but that was Jesus. Okay, I want you to think for me. You're going to have to think with me for a bit here. How many of you have had that run through your head, or you've been talking to somebody and they said, well, yeah, but that was Jesus? Okay, a little bit of thinking. What happens when a person says, but that was Jesus? What are they doing? Aren't they right at that point in time and saying, well, yeah, but he's the exception. He can, but I can't. Are we supposed to be imitators of Jesus? So how do you imitate somebody if you can't do what they do? See, if we're not careful, we really quickly take ourselves out of the equation of can do. Is that making sense to you? You know what? Let's not do that. Folks, let's not take ourselves out of the possibility of can do. Can you be like Jesus? I guarantee you there's one thing that you will never do that he did. You will never die on the cross for the salvation of other people's sins. He was the only spotless Lamb of God. He was the only human being to be born and live his whole life on this earth and never sin. To me, I'm blown away at that. He was the one, the only. Amen? In that regard, I can't be like him. But I'm so grateful for him because of him doing that. All of my sins are washed away. All of your sins are washed away. And you're as clean, as forgiven, as Jesus is clean. And he never had to be forgiven. That's how forgiven you are. That's how clean you are. One time when studying righteousness and praying about it, God dropped this in my heart, and it sounds like a crazy statement, but when it comes to righteousness, righteousness is as right as God. How many of you are going to go, I can't be as right as God? Well, I'd like to know where that is in the Bible. Just that, I can't be as right as God. But can you be as right as God as far as free from sin? Do you know what? You and me, because of what Jesus did, are removed as far from sin as God is from sin. True? That's true. That's how far we are removed from sin. So if you catch yourself saying, yeah, but that was Jesus, or yeah, but that was one of the apostles, you're almost excluding yourself from the possibility of doing that. Don't exclude yourself from what God has for you to do. Amen? Do you ever talk yourself out of something before you ever get started? Don't you hate that? I hate it. I'm so thankful for my dad and my mom. Wow. How many of you can figure out why I'm thankful? Because I had a dad who looked at a mountain and said, I'm carving that sucker. I had a mom who believed him in and walked with him, who walked from Custer to Rapid picking up pop bottles to get the pennies so they could have food to eat. I'm so grateful for their saying, can do. Can do. I'm so grateful that they put in me this attitude that, yeah, it can be done. It can be done. Folks, we can. We can. Don't exclude yourself before you even start. Too many people exclude themselves. Too many people got all their excuses why they can't. How many excuses did Moses have? I think God finally got tired of it and said, okay, get Aaron to come on over here. How many of you know after a while, Aaron wasn't speaking so much for Moses as at the beginning? What did Moses finally figure out? He could. Amen. Aren't you glad God is patient with us? Aren't you glad he's staying there and he'll keep bringing people alongside to help us, keep prodding us and nudging us and encouraging us? Amen. Well, turn and look at somebody and say, I can. I can, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, yeah, prophecy. Prophecy. There's a number of different aspects to prophecy or different types of prophecy. And one of them I'm just going to look at first is just, I call it the simple gift of prophecy. The simple gift of prophecy. Take in your Bibles and go now with me. You're close. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. Simple gift of prophecy. And as you're going there, I'm reminded of something else that I want to share. I'm convinced of this. We, in our minds, this ties in with what I said earlier, we in our minds will put the gifts of the Spirit out there and we make them harder than they really are. That's why they almost seem unattainable for some people. But you know what? They're a lot closer and a lot more at hand than lots of times some people are willing to let them be. You know, I was thinking about this. I'm going to back up a little bit. But the gift of faith or special faith, where a miracle takes place and you end up receiving something, where something supernatural takes place and you end up receiving something. I think Diana and I have had it happen a number of different times in our life. But we had a situation in our life, and this is years and years ago. I don't want to go into the details of it. But it was, I tell you what, it was one of the most emotionally painful, difficult situations for a parent to walk through. It was one of those that just ripped at your heart. And we tried to do everything we could to not have to walk through that situation, but we had to walk through it. Because somebody else was making choices. And how many of you know you can't always make everybody make the right choices? But you get to feel the consequences of the choices they make. And it was in motion. It was going to happen. She and I did what the Father had put in our heart to do. We shared what we knew to share. We shared the scripture. We stayed strong. And then we received a peace. And the best way I know how to describe it is this. We couldn't worry if we wanted to. How many of you'd like that? You got a situation that is close to your heart as it gets, and you couldn't worry if you wanted to. I mean, we had a peace that consumed us for 9 months about this situation. And then one day I got a phone call. Dad, can I come home? You want to know where I was the next day? I was in Sioux Falls helping somebody pack. Because one of the things we shared was that front door was always open. We weren't compromising the truth. We weren't compromising the Word of God. But our front door was always open. And we had a peace of God that carried us for 9 months. Couldn't worry if we wanted to. How many of you know getting away from worry for 9 months about a tough situation? Wow, that's not natural. Oh, what a beautiful thing we received. See, I think sometimes we make the gifts harder than they need to be. So, you know, don't make it hard. Don't make them unobtainable. I think there's probably people in this congregation, you've walked in gifts of the Spirit and not even knew it. And as they get described, and as you look at them, you go, oh, yeah, I remember that. So realize, they're not as hard as we make them out to be. And they're not just for the people that stand on the platform. I'm listening. I can't hear you. Yeah. Amen. Prophecy. Look at this one. The simple gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to all men. I want you to think about that verse for a little bit. Just three words. Here's a definition of this prophecy. But he who prophesies speaks what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort to all men. How many of you in here can do that? Now, this is where we're talking about simplifying. Is there any revelation knowledge in that? Does there have to be revelation knowledge in an exhortation, edification, and comfort? There doesn't have to be. But you know what there often is? Inspiration by the Holy Spirit. You're inspired to share something with somebody that exhorts, that edifies, and that comforts. And I tell you what, when you do that, it's not just lifeless words. It's words from the heart of God. And those words carry life. They carry comfort. They carry edification. They carry exhortation. And just think about it. How many of you would like edification? Just to get built up and just get encouraged. Y'all take some of that. How many of you would like, did I say edification? How many of you would like to take some encouragement? Just, do you ever get plodding through life feeling like Eeyore? How about a little encouragement? And somebody comes along and hears some encouragement that comes out of their mouth straight into your heart. And you're like, wow, all of a sudden you had no energy and you got energy. You think those words could carry grace? You think grace could be in those words? And I think of grace when it was spoken to the Apostle Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. And he goes from pleading to most gladly, therefore, within Jesus saying one sentence. Wow. And you know what? You can do that. You can do that. Look at somebody say, you can do that. You can do that. You can carry words of peace, words of exhortation, words of comfort. Did you know this simple gift of prophecy that the Bible, just go with me to chapter 14, you're already there, but go to verse 31. Verse 31, chapter 14. Verse 31. For you can do what? For you can all prophesy one by one. So how many of us in here can prophesy? You can all prophesy. You can all prophesy. I want to ask you a question. How many of you found yourself in a situation and you were talking to somebody, they're in a tough spot, whatever it is, your heart is going out to them, and all of a sudden you found yourself just inspired to speak something to them? Can I see a show of hands? Please, I'd like to see a show of hands, seriously. And you were just inspired, and how many of you knew, when you said those words, they had more in them than you just chit-chatting? You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's an inspiration from the Holy Spirit to speak edification, exhortation, and comfort. How many people are more comfortable with edification, exhortation, and comfort than you are prophecy? Isn't it interesting? Because why is that? Why is it we're more comfortable with the words edification, exhortation, and prophecy? Because we've made prophecy too hard. We've always put prophecy where there's got to be this future revelation, and if I say something that doesn't come to pass, then I'm false. See, we've made it too hard. Can I get another amen? Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's a bunch of people. You can all prophesy one by one. We can all speak edification, exhortation, and comfort to all men. And what happens when you start walking in something? Does that ever open up to more? How many of us have not really even started walking in stuff, gifts of the Spirit, because that's for us and not them, or that's for them and not us? We made it too hard without even taking steps. You can all prophesy one by one. You can all prophesy one by one. You can all prophesy one by one. You can all speak by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and speak edification, exhortation, and comfort to all men. You may all do it. Turn and look at somebody and say, yeah, he's talking about me right now. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I just read about me. I just read about me. That's what I do. Wouldn't that be good to have that attitude? And Jesus spoke to the man and his eyes opened up. Yeah, but that was Jesus. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, move on you. Amen. Speak to him. Speak to him. Me? Yeah, you. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Why not? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't get any why nots. That's really good. That was a great place to be silent. There are no why nots. It could happen in your life. Amen. You, glory to God. Hallelujah. Then you have the prophecy that can be spoken by a prophet. Go with me to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Keep your marker here in Corinthians, by the way. Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, want to start at verse 8. Acts 21, verse 8. Acts 21, verse 8. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions, departed and came to Caesarea, and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesy. Maybe I just went there to read that. I love this verse of scripture. What did he have? Four virgin daughters who did what? Prophesied. I wonder where they might have prophesied. Maybe in church? Women? Talking in church? Yeah, I'm hitting on something. Yeah, four virgin daughters who prophesy. One friend of mine said, well, I guess in order to be to prophesy as a woman, you have to be a virgin. No, that's not what you're supposed to get out of that. That's not it. I just love the fact that he had four daughters. They just happened to be virgins, and they prophesied. They're walking in their gifts. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, where did I leave off? Four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Now, when we heard these things, let's see, did I miss a verse? Yep, I did. Judea. When he had come down to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his two hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns... Oh, man, I tell you what, I love the study notes in my Bible, but when you got a little bit of a verse down here and a little bit of a verse up here, I lose track, and that is what's happening to me right now. Just wanted you to know that. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. All right? Jews at Jerusalem bound the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when he had heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? Boy, Paul had something in him. I think of that verse of scripture where it says he hears about chains and tribulations that await him. But he says, none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, but that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry that the Lord has set before me. That's the heart I want to have, is to finish. Finish with joy too. I do not want to be a grumpy old man. Glory to God. Turn and look at somebody and say, no grumpy old man in here. Okay, I'm about to get in trouble, but I'm going to do it anyway. And no nagging old lady either. Okay, quickly moving on. But what's the prophet do? He comes up, and he just happens to have an illustration with the belt. And what's he do? He prophesies and speaks to future events. Prophecy sometimes is absolutely wonderful. It's great to hear. Sometimes not. But I don't know about you. I don't mind having some heads up so I'm prepared. Amen? So there's prophecy that will speak to future events spoken by a prophet. Now, does it only happen by a prophet? No. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. You could find yourself all of a sudden prophesying to future events. Now, does that mean you're a prophet? It doesn't mean you're a prophet. It just means that gift of prophecy worked through you. And you're speaking to future events. Now, I don't know that I can say everybody can speak to future events. But I know we all have that simple gift of prophecy of edification, exhortation, and comfort to all men. Amen? And the more we step into... Let's see. Sure would be nice to get down on the floor. That would be really nice. I don't know. Really? I already took one. You mean I got to take another one? Oh. You'd get behind me and push. That's the help I'd get from you. No, I can do it. How many of you can take that step? You can take that step. You can take that step. Amen? Hallelujah. How many, instead of me just having a little phrase there, how many of you will take that? I'm taking that step. I'm stepping out. I'm stepping into more. How many of us get afraid when we start talking about stuff like this and we start thinking about us? Stepping out, Brian, years ago, Willis and Joan were here, and they had a family member who was ill, and God gave you a word for them. Were you a little bit nervous at sharing with Willis and Joan and telling them what they were supposed to do when they got to the hospital room? Did you hear that? He was like, me go up to them and tell them what they're supposed to do? But Brian did it, okay? He did that. And Willis and Joan were such people that, you know what they did? They received it. But here's the crazy thing. For me, I look at some people, we look at some people, you might see an athlete, you might see somebody like that, and you think, oh man, they're just as bold as can be. They just don't have to wrestle or struggle with anything. They never have to deal with fear. Do you know that professional basketball players have their peers? And to sometimes share their testimony with them, they have to step through some of the same stuff we have to step through? Making sense here? Well, for Willis and Joan, not all of their family is spirit-filled. Not all of their family is open to this stuff. But Willis and Joan took that word from Brian, went into the hospital room with family standing around, did exactly what Brian had gave them to do, and you know what? That person, that family member, was healed, and they weren't supposed to be. Wow! Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, and then you have to wrestle with that. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that question, let's overcome that fear. Well, what if I'm wrong? Won't be the first time, nor the last. It's okay. It's okay. Turn and look at somebody and say, I'm really glad it's okay to be wrong. That means I'm okay. I'm okay. Even though I'm wrong, I'm okay. Glory to God. It's okay. Turn and look at somebody and say, it's okay. Yeah, praise God. I think of Keith Moore. I don't know how many of you know him, but he was told down at Rhema, Keith, you're going to do praise and worship for prayer and healing school. And Keith would bang out stuff on the piano. He was kind of like from Georgia, Hicksville. And now he's over at Rhema, and they tell him, you're going to lead praise and worship at prayer and healing. And he looked at him, he said, you guys don't understand. I don't sing, and I don't play. And they said, Keith, you're going to lead praise and worship at prayer and healing school. So Keith is being obedient. He's stepping out. He's stepping out. I'm stepping out. And he's up there banging stuff out on the piano. And he knows that there's a lady in prayer and healing school who needs healing. And she's a pianist. How many of you know there's a difference between a pianist and someone banging something out? And Keith's up there banging stuff out and singing, and he goes, oops, missed another one. And that's just how it was. Oh, no, we don't want to treat it light and flippant, but we don't want to be so full of fear that we don't take steps. Because you don't know how it's going to unfold. And how Brian sharing that word with Willis and Joan, and then Willis and Joan stepping past the fear of ministering and being bold in front of family members, and then God working. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Simple gift of prophecy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. All right. You can all prophesy one by one. Then there's the office of a prophet where he's speaking to things, where he's talking about future events. And then there's the gift of prophecy that the Holy Spirit could have any one of us in him, any one of us in here as he wills, speak out a prophecy. Dealing with super future events, not just edification, exhortation, and comfort, but more than that. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Getting anything? And I learned something from Dad Hagen, and he was referred to by others as the leading prophet in the United States. When I was down at Rhema one time, God dropped something in my heart. It was a 3-day satellite seminar, and this is what God dropped in my heart during that satellite seminar. When the Father wants to get something dispersed in the church world, one of, not the only, but one of the first places he would go would be to Pastor Dad Hagen. And it would start going out. Amen? Hallelujah. And this is one of the things he taught. And I think this is so good. And Diana and I heard him, Jan, I know you've heard him lots of times say this. Now, I have something for you. If it doesn't fit, throw it away. If it doesn't bear witness with your heart, set it on a shelf. How many of you know today we're not supposed to be led by prophets? We're not supposed to be led by prophets. That's Old Testament. What are we supposed to be led by as individuals today? The Holy Spirit. Every one of us has got the Holy Spirit in us to lead us. Amen? I think one of the mistakes I see people make sometimes is they're running all over the country trying to find a prophet to give them a word for direction for their life. You know what? I think that can be the lazy way out. Why don't we just back up? Get in our prayer closet and hang out with the Father and let him speak to us directly. And then you might be out and about and somebody speaks something to your life and it confirms. Or you're out and about and you speak to somebody's life and it confirms. Amen. But hallelujah. Glory. Guess what? I have taken 45 minutes already. And Bubs is saying, Papa, you're done. No. But it's 5 to 11. I've talked for 40 minutes. That's enough. That's enough. Amen. I want to ask you a question. As we get ready to wind down, I want to ask you a question. Is heaven a good place? What's heaven like? I want to meditate on this because I had this thought run through me. What's heaven like? It's beautiful. Peace. Paradise. We heard earlier, streets of gold. Yeah, Roland, Isaac, and Colleen, and Vaughn can relate. That driveway, it's not paved with gold, is it? Nope. It's not even paved with gravel. It's mud. You know? But heaven, the streets are paved with gold. There's peace. There's joy. Oh, there's happiness. There's rejoicing. There's everything you'd ever need, anything you'd ever want, stuff. I remember when Caleb was little, he liked dinosaurs. He really liked dinosaurs a lot. And he came up to me, and most dads get questions like this, and he asked me, "Dad, will there be dinosaurs in heaven?" How many of you, Dad, got questions like that? I liked my answer. I really liked my answer. I said, "Caleb, when you get to heaven, if you're still interested in seeing dinosaurs, I believe you could walk up to God and say, 'Hey, God, I'd really like to see a T-Rex.'" And he'd say, "Look over there." I liked my answer. I liked my answer. Why not? There's all kinds of, you know what? A T-Rex might be pretty common or pretty normal if you read about some of the description of some of the creatures in heaven. T-Rex wouldn't be that far-fetched. He'd be kind of ordinary. I mean, heaven is going to be awesome. Why wouldn't you want to go there? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to invite somebody there? Well, then we could flip over and go, what's hell like? Radical contrast, huh? Fire and brimstone. I remember hearing this one lady, she gave a description of hell, and it stuck with me. She saw a person in flames, fully flesh, burn off of them. And then after a short bit of time, all their flesh was back on and burn off of them. Eternity. Whew. No, thank you. You know what? I'd much rather go to heaven. Invite people. Hey, I got this really cool place. Do you ever do that? Do you ever have a really cool, have you ever gone to a concert? You're so excited about the concert and you started inviting people. I remember Bruce McCoy. He loves Nebraska football. He loves Nebraska football more than I like the Green Bay Packers. I mean, he liked it a lot. You know what he was always doing? Inviting me. Always, man. You got to come. You got to come. I never made it down there. But he just loved it. It was so good. It was the best. Man, when we got someplace good to invite people to, we do. Hey, you want to go to the best place ever? It's going to be awesome. You'll be so glad. How many of you, when you leave here, you're going to heaven? I'm looking around. I'm wanting to see hands. I want to know, are you born again? Are you going to heaven when you leave this world? Because that is at the heart of what Jesus Christ came for. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. I wonder what it's going to be like when we enter into heaven and Jesus is watching the expression on our face. I wonder what he's going to be looking like. Yep, another one of mine. Yep, another one of mine. Yep, you're here because of me. Yep, yep, yep. Oh, just who for the joy. I think he looked past the cross and saw our salvation. And that gave him the joy he needed to go through that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Who for the joy? Glory to God. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Brian and Marge, if you guys would come on up, and Jackie and Roland, I'm just going to put you guys in there. David, if you'd want to come on up, that'd be awesome. We're just going to finish with prayer. And when I was asking how many people know that you know the Lord, I think every hand went up. I think every hand went up. But if you were here and you didn't raise your hand because you're not sure if you're going to heaven or not, you can come up here, and any one of these folks up here, they'll pray with you. They'll pray with you, and they'll introduce you to Jesus. If you're here and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've never been filled with Holy Spirit, and I didn't get to it, and speaking in tongues, you can come on up, and someone, they'll pray with you and get filled with the Holy Spirit. We had a young lady 3 weeks or so ago came up and just wanted to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Absolutely awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. If you got a need in your life, if you have need for healing, if you have need of just encouragement, you just have need of just God. God, I need help. God, I need some wisdom. God, I need some grace. God, give me some direction. This is a big part of ministry in the church on Sunday mornings right here. Because you know what? I don't want anybody to leave this place who came and had need for ministry and walked out without. I want you to receive. I want you to get everything God has for you today. And he works through the folks up here. So I'm going to close this with prayer, and then you're invited to come up for the altar for whatever you want to come up here for. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we worship you, praise you, and give you the glory. Father, I thank you for a greater freedom. Greater freedom, God. Greater freedom in this place. Greater freedom. Father, that we're walking into more. We're stepping into more. That's it. You're in this place today. Okay, guys, listen. You're in this place today, and you want to step into more, but you've been hesitant. You've been holding back. Come on up. Take a step right now. Take a step in this place today. Come on up and say, hey, there's some things that are in my heart, but I'm holding back. I'm just not stepping out. Come on up and let them lay hands on you. Let them pray for you. Let them speak into your life and over your life, and let the Holy Spirit work. There's a gift of the Spirit that you, gee, it seems like that's working in me, but I'm just not sure. Just come on up. Let people lay hands on you and pray with you. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. And as a church family, we're stepping out. Oh, we've stepped out to a degree, all right. But we're stepping out even more. We're stepping out more. We're stepping out more. More and more of what the Father has for us to do. We're stepping out. Thank you, Father. So, Father, if there's anyone never met Jesus, they get to. Never been filled with the Holy Spirit, they get to. Need healing, they get healing.